And indeed, if cooking is chemistry, which Colin says it is, baking certainly is. And that's something that my next guest knows all about. Alice Taylor was a finalist and a fan favourite from MasterChef New Zealand in 2022. And has now brought out her first cookbook, Alice in Cakeland. It is designed so you need minimal equipment and little experience to successfully bake, as well as the recipes being affordable and adaptable. You can swap out ingredients and use what you have. Now, you may be indulging in some baking this weekend. If so, let us know what. And if you have a burning question for Alice, flick us a text on 2101 or Saturday at rnz.co.nz. Alice Taylor, Atta Murray, good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you with us. It's a great book. I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed the bit at the beginning, which we will get on to shortly, but I don't know how much of Bonnie Garmus you heard there. She talked about pistachio nuts being flammable.
I didn't hear. I came in maybe a little bit later than that, but I found what she was talking about was super fascinating. What did she say about pistachio nuts?
Apparently pistachio nuts are very flammable.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea.
It appears in lessons in chemistry as well. So there you go. If you want to start a fire like Bonnie did in her kitchen twice in London, don't do anything with pistachio nuts.
Yeah, goodness. Good to know that. Thank you.
Good to know. Yes. Now, let's talk about your book, because you have done something which doesn't happen very often in cookbooks, certainly in baking books, where your first section is about all of the basics, all of the kind of the building blocks of where you start with baking. Not so much with ingredients, although there is a bit about that, but about some of these basic recipes. And if you nail these, you get them right. Why did you want to do that?
I think for me, a really important part of a successful cookbook is that you've explained everything to the reader. And I think that there's a lot of mystery around baking. People get quite nervous around it because it seems a little bit stricter than cooking. But actually, if you kind of get given a handful of recipes that are really strong, if you're equipped with those and you can use them in different ways and change them, it makes the experience much more enjoyable. So I really wanted this book to be super functional, and I felt like that was the first place that I needed to start, giving some really simple, basic recipes that give people more confidence in the kitchen.
And you start with one that you say you don't particularly like it, which is buttercream.
Yeah. So for me,
what's wrong with buttercream?
Well, for me, I think it's my palate. I'm a pastry chef, but I don't like things that are overly sweet. So I find that often the buttercream that I've tasted is very much focused on the appearance of the buttercream and the structure of the buttercream rather than the flavour. For me, cakes and baking is all about flavour, same as it is with cooking. They're not different in that respect. And so I wanted to make a buttercream that's actually really smooth, but it doesn't require any hot syrups. It's sort of the same style as an Italian buttercream. That's why I don't like buttercream. It's the sweetness and the graininess of the sugar, but this recipe avoids those two things.
And so this is where one of your favourite ingredients, one of your pantry staples, comes in?
Yes. Are you talking about sweetened condensed milk?
I am.
Oh, I love that stuff. But I grew up, I think a lot of Kiwi kids grew up eating sweetened condensed milk, like from the tin after like your mum had baked some cookies or something. Mm. But it's a great ingredient. I love using different syrups and sort of different ways to sweeten things that is a little bit more interesting than sugar.
And also there are notes, I think, on the bottom of all these recipes of how, you know, what you could add, just even some first ideas of what you could add to make things a wee bit different, whether that's some, you know, crushed up Oreos, or if you want to make it lemon or chocolate or whatever kind of flavourings to add.
Yeah, I think for me, I think I really want people to understand, especially from reading this book, that, you know, a recipe is a recipe and you can change and adapt that depending on what you have in the pantry or what your palate prefers. So I've tried to give some different suggestions of how you can change it depending on what you like, so people don't feel like they're so forced to go a certain direction with their baking.
Mm. Is this something, particularly for baking, that people can be anxious about because it is about precision? It's about chemistry. It's about getting the quantities of the right things right.
Exactly. I think it is. There's a lot of nervousness around baking in general. Can you change a certain ingredient? Can't you? What can you swap out? But I think from being surrounded by really amazing bakers growing up, but also working in professional kitchens with chefs that are always adapting to the situation, there's actually a lot that you can change. It's absolutely a chemistry, and you need to understand some basic rules. But if you have something like this book to sort of guide you, you really realize that actually there's a lot that you can adjust and change, and and your baking is going to turn out just as great.
Where did a love of cooking start for you?
I've always been surrounded by incredible food. My dad's an amazing cook, an incredible cook. And then my mum is an amazing baker. So were my grandparents. So for me, I was always surrounded by great food. I love to read. And I remember being really young and always reading cookbooks, like from age 5. It was like the books that I was really obsessed with. I wouldn't read many kids' books. I'd only read cookbooks. So maybe it's like an innate part of my personality that I love cooking and baking. But yeah, I've always been surrounded by great food and fascinated by recipes and altering recipes. And then when I went through university, that was sort of a way to relax my mind, because I think I've got quite a busy mind. So it's also good for my mental health.
Yeah, you ended up doing a master's, I think, at university.
Yes.
But in
yes.
politics, which isn't not the standard way of getting into a kitchen to be a chef.
No, it's not. No, I studied my Master of Politics down at the University of Otago. I specialised in Taiwanese foreign policy. But for me, I've always been writing about food, and my degree and my career as a chef and a food writer very much help each other. So for me, I was always fascinated by the politics of food, and this book is very much influenced by the climate that we're in now, especially with the cost of living crisis. So there's certain influences that my degree has had on, my career as a chef. Absolutely.
Mm. And certainly for several of the recipes in the book, there is mention of flat cooking in Dunedin, or there is mention of what was being cooked during lockdown. And for a lot of people, they came back to baking in lockdown. I mean, who didn't make sourdough in lockdown?
Oh, we all did. Mm. We all did.
Yeah. And so for you, how much of that was, crystallising that idea that it is about making beautiful things, but also it's about making beautiful things for other people, for the community?
I think that is really what baking is. I think that's why I enjoy baking the most. It's sort of like cooking is an act of love, but I think especially baking, it's a sort of treat. It's this extra thing, going the extra mile, often giving it to a friend or a loved one. And so for me, I really wanted this to kind of take inspiration from those experiences that we've all shared recently and create a book that was easy, accessible, enjoyable, and just fun.
Now, if we talk about MasterChef for a moment, the MasterChef ginger cakes are in the book.
Yes.
You probably had to put them in the book, didn't you?
I think I had to. But honestly, I'm very proud of that recipe, because it really is the first recipe that I fully wrote on my own, kind of out of nowhere. So I'm very proud. They're honestly, it's an incredibly delicious cake. I don't really bake it anymore. After MasterChef, I sort of stopped baking it. I lost the enjoyment, because I think there was so much anxiety around making that cake perfect at the time. But of course they're in there, and it's a great recipe.
Yeah, Kate actually has been in touch saying she made your ginger cakes from the recipe yesterday, and they were delicious. She's saying, as I listen now, I'm making the fish pie.
Oh,
so
nice.
Real-time advice from Alice, please. Can you please ask Alice, she says, if the mustard component is mustard powder or something like Dijon? Now, in the recipe, it says two tablespoons of mustard.
Yes. Okay. So I'm talking about like a liquid mustard. So you can use any kind if you've got whole grain, Dijon, whatever you have. But again, if you just have mustard powder, add mustard powder. It will still do the same thing. Maybe reduce a little bit. So let's add one teaspoon of mustard powder. But yeah, any mustard that you have. If you don't have mustard powder or paste, you can use mustard seeds. You don't even need to add mustard and it will still be delicious. So it's up to you.
There you go, Kate. Fantastic. Good to know. Lots of people are baking this morning, actually. I suspect this is not something from your book. I don't think it's from your book anyway, having read it the other day. Peter's baking peanut and honey dog treats.
Oh, wow.
People do bake for their dogs as well. Extraordinary.
That's amazing.
Thank you for letting us know, Pete. One other thing, though, that I was interested in talking to you about was endometriosis.
Yes.
How do you deal with having such a full-on and such a debilitating condition when you have gone through, you know, a pretty full-on degree, working in kitchens, being on your feet all day?
Yeah, this is something that I'm very passionate about because I think, you know, a lot of, for anyone with endometriosis, it's a real challenge. But especially, you know, a lot of us that have endometriosis have, you know, high pressure jobs or physically demanding jobs. And that in itself brings a whole nother challenge if you have, you know, chronic pain. For me, it's been a sort of a work in progress, but when I started in kitchens, or even started in MasterChef, my endometriosis got really, really bad. And so I had to sort of take my health quite seriously. So now I'm very careful with how I exercise. I don't put too much pressure on myself to exercise as much. I take those breaks when I need to. I have a great, incredible bosses that I communicate my needs to, and they're wonderful and they respect that. And I also think as well, just keeping yourself healthy, well rested, and on top of your health is important. But also just knowing when you need to have a break. Like, my body doesn't work like a body that doesn't have endometriosis, and I've accepted that and I know my limits, so I just respect those.
Yeah. Have you ever found that food has made it better or worse? Because quite often there are overlapping gut symptoms as well with endo.
Yeah, very complicated. For me, there was a point where my endometriosis was really bad, and it actually became quite a challenge to sort of enjoy food, which was quite a sad, really sad time for me. But luckily, now I've kind of learned what foods trigger my body. I try to avoid them. And I just know that there's like little simple steps that I can take to sort of keep my body on a lower level of pain. But yeah, it's a tricky one. Food, it can really trigger the symptoms in the body. But kind of understanding your body, and I'm no doctor, but I've learned how to, you know, with the help of professionals, understand my body and my triggers, and just avoiding those. Has meant that I've, you know, feel much more in control of my health. I'm enjoying food as well.
Excellent. Quick question that's just come in, actually, saying, how would you go about making recipes dairy-free? I guess it depends what dairy you're trying to substitute.
Oh, it's super simple, especially with this cookbook. I've designed a lot of the recipes, for example, the cakes, to be a liquid fat and a liquid sugar. So what that means is, like, liquid fat can be melted butter, but it can also be oil. So most of the recipes completely interchangeable with oil, cream. You can use coconut cream or any other dairy-free cream. And then your milks, you've got all of your milk replacements. There's also some great dairy-free butters. But honestly, just substitute, like, you know, your fats with other fats and you'll be fine.
Fantastic. Alice Taylor, thank you very much. The new book is Alice in Cakeland. You're listening to RNZ National.